Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia Farquharson. Delia is a licensed social worker and experienced life coach, dedicated to helping you achieve your goals and become your better self. She specializes in helping others identify the connections between your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Welcome, Delia.
Yes, good evening, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Discussions with Delia. I'm Delia Farquharson, and just remember, you can call in live to speak with us on 619-639-4621, and we live in the Northeast, and I am totally over the winter. It is just absolutely so cold, and it is just, there's just so much snow that I'm over it, but enough about me. Before we get started, let me welcome my fabulous guest co-host, my awesome husband, Raymond. Hi, Raymond.
Hey, Delia.
Well, you're the one who has to shovel the snow, so.
Right. I guess we'll just, you know, make us look forward to spring even more.
And enjoy it more, yeah. So, you know, other than the weather, it's Black History Month.
Richard Sherman won.
Yes. we had the Super Bowl and Richard Sherman won. And there's another interesting case going on in Florida that I think it hasn't quite gotten the attention that Trayvon Martin's case has gotten, but it's the same stand your ground kind of case of a gentleman, I think his name is Michael Dunn, who shot a young man because he was playing his music too loud, and he's on trial at the moment. But it was interesting that some of the letters that this man wrote about his experience with black folks, he used the word thug in his letters, and I thought, wow, you know, I guess maybe this is more of a code word than we even realize.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Today we have, you know, we're expecting a really interesting guest to join us, Desiree Jordan, and she is really focused on and dedicated to women's rights. So I think we should have a really interesting discussion with Desiree. So, you know, that should be good. And I was, you know, what were you going to say?
No, nothing. I was, I myself am intrigued to hear, you know, the topic about her organization, what's involved, and you know more so the purpose that they serve.
And on Super Bowl night, I was on Ivory Jam Radio. I guess nobody really heard that because
everyone was watching the Super Bowl, mm-hmm.
right? So,
mm-hmm. Well, hopefully you'll get a chance to go on again and. Hopefully, you know, it will be in a context where the Super Bowl or, you know, State of the Union is not occurring at the same time.
Right. And it's, you know, because, yeah, as a newly launched private practice,
right.
you know, trying to build that entity is a lot of work and it takes a lot of effort. So, you know, I look forward to doing that.
True.
Mm-hmm.
True.
So, do you have a cold?
No, ma'am, I don't. I'm fine. I am feeling well. Doubled the snow, got the car out. I am fine, thanks.
Yeah. So, how are you feeling about, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, totally over the winter, but we have another snowstorm coming on Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, really? I didn't know. I think I'm better off not knowing and then just waking up and it's like, oh, what a surprise.
Right. But, you know, it makes you think what, you know, the impact that this weather is having on folks, the mood, you know, the moods of folks.
Yeah.
You know,
You
know, because it just creates that much more difficulty for those who can't get out for whatever reason
right.
or those who are hampered by having to go out because they have to go to work,
right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, at work today, folks, you know, to get to work by 8 o'clock, we're leaving home at 5 and still getting to work at 9. And, you know, by the time you get there and you're stressed, you know, and, you know, less than regular staff, you know, you're not fully staffed anymore, so therefore
mm-hmm.
you have to pick up more. And, you know, that just from a working environment, it's stressful in that sense. You know, you've been shut in out inside your home, you can't go out for a walk, you know, it's just the temperature, the weather, the cold, the gloom. You know, I think your spirits obviously are affected. So
right.
I'm looking forward to spring. If not, we're going to have to go somewhere south very soon.
Right. So our guest is joining us, and I want to say welcome to Miss Desiree Jordan. Hi, Desiree. How are you?
Hi, Delia. How are you?
How are you? I'm very well. Thank you for joining us. So
thank you for inviting me, and thank your audience for listening.
Right. Oh, great. So, Desiree, before you know, I wanted to give you the opportunity to kind of introduce yourself and introduce what it is that we are going to be talking about today. So, you know, just go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell the listeners, you know, who you are and what you're about.
Okay. My name is Desiree Jordan, and I am a social worker, mother of two, and a women's rights activist. I became a women's rights activist because of the just disrespectful nature in which I find that our political officials are speaking about women. And so, you know, I took this opportunity to be on your show, Delia, because you talk about each person making a difference. And that is basically what my story is about. It's about a social worker, mom of two daughters, married, who works with people on the margins of society. And to hear the manner in which our elected officials would speak about a third-year law student, Georgetown, that's where it all started. And it was my organization, Unite Women New York, got started because I heard what Daryl Issa had to say, and I decided in that moment that if I went to bed that night, I too would be complicit in Daryl Issa's disrespect for women,
right,
American
right.
women.
Right. And so, you know, that event, right, her testimony and that event has sparked so many things because now she's being, she's considering a run for Congress, right?
Ooh, me? Well, you know what? It's not off the burner. It's not off the burner because I find that the choices that I'm being offered to vote into office, you know what? I need to be able to you know, what people don't understand, I think, and the message I want to bring about is that our Constitution says we the people. We the people.
Right.
And I just feel as though particularly people of color tend not to become involved in the process. But this government truly is about we the people. And so I'm going to do what I have to do to make sure that, you know, I pay taxes. I need to be represented.
Desiree, it's Raymond.
Hi, Raymond.
How are you doing? Just to revisit, can you just revisit for us and those who are listening, you know, what exactly occurred, that trigger point for you? Can you just replay that for us so that refresh our memory in terms of what occurred and in the context of what was said, hence then, you know, you feeling strongly.
Okay, so what had happened was I was came home one night. I was watching the evening news with my 11-year-old daughter, as I usually do every night. And Daryl Issa came on the TV. He chairs the board, the judiciary of the United States of America. And President Barack Obama had just okayed that women's health, reproductive health, should be protected under the Affordable Health Care Act. I don't know if you recall, but Darrell Issa held an inquiry into whether or not the fact that American women's reproductive health being covered under the Constitution, under the ACA, Affordable Health Care Act, also known as Obamacare's, it would be constitutional. As you know, he invited five people to this inquiry. It just so happened that he invited five men of the cloth of varying faiths to talk about whether or not it was infringing upon the moral rights of the church that women should be covered. Because, as you know, a lot of hospitals are Catholic, a lot of schools are Catholic, and so third-year Georgetown law student by the name of Sandra Fluke wanted to testify. And I think the beautiful thing about her story is that she did not want to testify for herself. She was testifying for a friend who had, I believe it was endometriosis or a cyst growing on her womb. And so in the future, now, Raymond, I'm not a doctor. I'm a social worker. In the future, she would be able to have children. Birth control pills are prescribed to rectify a lot of the problems that some women face during. And so he had a hearing, and the five men of the cross testified, which is their American right, and she asked to be heard and told her no. It was amazing to me how it was upon, you know, the reproductive rights of an American woman that the five different faiths could come together. I found that ironic. To make matters worse, Rush Limbaugh proceeded to get on his radio show. Rush Limbaugh makes $35 million a year to spread hatred. He got on his radio show and he made the statements that if Sandra Fluke wanted the government or the people of America to pay for her birth control, then she was no more than a slut and a prostitute. He further went on to say that if he has to pay for this through his taxes, she and her friends need to send him the porno tape. My daughter, who is 11 years old, had no idea what an abortion was, what a porno tape was, and I found myself forced to explain it to her as a female reproductive being in a manner that would uplift her.
Right.
And so that night I said to myself, I was going to bed, and I said, you know what? I can't go to sleep like this. If I go to sleep like this, then I am just as complicit in him with disrespecting all women's autonomy, the right to choose and govern over their own body. And so I called a friend, and we set up a Facebook page, and Unite Women New York was born that night. The next morning... there were over 500 women trying to get in. And, you know, Facebook also tends, we live in a patriarchal sort of misogynistic society, so your Facebook, I'm not a big social person. I mean, I'll get on and I'll post, but I don't get into Facebook arguments. And so we were very careful to screen. But we spent the next 2 days straight screening women who were dying to hear. So that proceeded into, believe it or not, staging 50 state rallies, and that was, it seems so long ago now, Delia, that was 2 years ago, April.
Right.
28th, my rally in New York City started at my alma mater, NYU, and ended at the African Burial Ground, and it was successfully attended. We had, our guest speaker was Representative Carolyn Maloney. We had Jerry Nadler. We had Richard Gottfried. We had Scott Stringer, Erica Jong, Martha Plimpton, the actress, Shelby Knox. So many people responded to, I feel, one woman standing up and saying, enough is enough. And I just imagine, what if every woman did that? What if every American did that? Stood up and said, enough is enough. I either I am going to do something, which democracy is an action. It's a verb. It's not an ideology.
Mm. Right. You know, Desiree, every time you tell the story, it is just as inspiring as the first time. And, you know, this radio show is about, you know, how we become our better selves. And I think your story exemplifies just that, how, you know, the mark that experience put on your spirit has inspired you to develop this organization in such an organic way. And as I was saying before, that entire experience, you know, has sparked so many prongs, so many tributaries from it. And one of them, I was saying, is that Sandra Fluke is now considering running for Congress in California to replace Representative Waxman, Henry Waxman. And I'm thinking that when she went there, all she wanted was perhaps to advocate on the behalf of her friend and other women to say that, you know, women should have this right, should have the right to have their conditions be covered, you know, because it's unique to women, right? And so it's fabulous. So Desiree, in terms of the fact that now you have this really great organization established, you know, what's your immediate goal? And then what's your long-term goal? What do you see for Unite Women, beyond the impact that it's already had?
Well, I think the long-term mission of this organization is to serve as a platform to build partnerships that would secure full ownership of what we at Unite Women call PACE. Women, PACE yourselves. The right to privacy, access, choice, and equality in all spheres of their life, despite their religion, sexual orientation, race, ethnicity. My short-term goal is to wake up in everybody that I meet the fact that you have a voice. You have a voice. As an American citizen, you have to use it. I don't think people tap into I think a lot of times, and as a social worker, I also come to this work from a psychodynamic place, where a lot of times throughout childhood, throughout adolescence, and for different reasons, women are often silenced. We are told to smile. We are told not to get angry. We are told to be polite. So my short-term goal is to get, and I have to say, particularly young women of color, to own their voices. Mm-hmm. Because in doing this work, nothing is perfect and everything is a learning experience. So doing this work has in itself been a lesson to me. I had no idea how to form a 501c3 organization. But because my goal is not about instant gratification, but more about if I could just get one girl to say, you know what, she's right. This is the way I feel. We don't have to agree. because I think it is in the dialogue that we make progress.
Right.
But that every woman, every person has a right to their own voice and to autonomy, to self-determination. So
right.
Those are my long-term and short-term goals.
Okay. I guess my question is, for those listening to you, in terms of, are there, you said New York chapter, is it, are there chapters throughout the United States already established, or in certain cities folks are interested?
Here's what happened. After I started that, I've been invited to do so many other things, just like I was invited to be on this radio show. I have been invited by Carolyn Maloney to ring the NASDAQ closing bell for Women's Equality Day on August 26th. I've been asked to headline other marches that have happened in Washington, D.C. I was also a partner organization with Al Sharpton's 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's March that just happened over the summer. So not only is it just we have different other groups that I continue to work with have mm-hmm. been born from this call that I made that night. Some of those groups are in states, but I think what I'm most excited about is my linkages with international organizations, such as Leave No Girl Behind, which is based in South Africa, and we plan on starting Girl God programs with proper funding. I'm not so good at the fundraising. To get these groups started so that I can, in as many girls as I can reach. You know, I'd start in Mount Vernon. I've already approached the superintendent, waiting to hear back. I've approached the leadership in Mount Vernon and waiting to hear back. But I'm just so driven that, you know, sometimes it seems as though I'm just making it. It's just all
right.
Coming together. So, yes, we are working with a group, Leave No Girl Behind, in South Africa. We are working with the Girl God to implement her programs, and those are three programs, three age brackets, from 5 to 8, 9 to 12, and 12 to 18, where we would talk about ownership of, you know, human value of women in our
right.
very, very patriarchal culture.
Right. Desiree, I wonder, you know, in your work, you know, what's the impact that you see that culture has on, you know, women understanding and receiving that message that, you know, that you're promoting, that we, you know, we all have a voice, that we can all contribute. Are you seeing any particular impact of culture on getting that?
Well, here's the thing. It's really starting to ramp up. And that, I think, is a niche that needs to be cultivated more. Because, funny, a lot of people, when you say the word feminist, women of color sort of back off or shut down because we feel as though we have to make a choice. We know that our sons and our daughters both suffer because of the overarching reach of institutional racism in our culture. So that it is a very fine line. But it is historical, the more that I do this work, to find that even the biggest premier women's organizations were founded by women of color. It was Shirley Chisholm who founded the National Organization for Women, which I've presented at and had them implement resolutions into their bylaws, and which I will be presenting at again in, they are doing a Women of Color conference in New Mexico, June 27th to the 29th, which I've been asked to present a plenary session about intersectionality and understanding that all women have to be fully seated at the table of equality if any woman is to achieve a sense of autonomy and liberty.
Right, right. You know, and you know, Desiree, so in thinking about it, you know, part of it is in order to see yourself as a worthwhile contributor, right, you also need to be able to see yourself as of value, of having value to add. And I think that's part of, you know, that's part of the struggle, particularly for girls of color, is that, you know, we have a culture, especially, you know, a social media culture right now that, you know, denigrates women. You know, one of the controversies most recently, Beyonce and Jay-Z and the song that they did at the Grammys was a song that harkens to the abuse that what's her name had against
Rihanna?
No. What's the singer that lives in Switzerland?
Singer in Switzerland.
And she takes. But it harkened to the abuse that she. Ike and Tina Turner.
Oh.
Harkened to the abuse that Tina Turner suffered at the hands of Ike. And it's, you know, where he made reference in their autobiography about eating pie or whatever it was. And in the song that Rihanna did, they made reference to this experience between Ike and Tina Turner, which was an abusive experience. But when that's still being perpetuated in our culture, when somebody like Beyonce, which so many of our girls look up to and so many women look up to.
Exactly.
You just don't understand the serious repercussion of something like that.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, you know. It's funny you mentioned that because a lot of times, you know, when I do speaking and I go to talk about my experience, people will get up and they will say, well, you know, Sandra Fluke was a third-year Georgetown law student, and why is it that, you know, that was... Because in that moment, what hit me was the fact that if they could talk about a third-year white Georgetown law school student in this manner, what would they say about me and my 11-year-old daughter in a society that sees women of color as worthless?
Less than.
When I saw Beyonce's performance, in going after autonomy, she has every right to do whatever it is that she pleases to do with her body. However, I do believe that there should be a disclaimer placed on the act that here it is, even within marriage, women are expected to perform. Their value and worth comes through sexual objectification, therefore dehumanization. And it's a very, very, very tricky lesson to teach, because I believe that boys suffer from misogyny just as much as girls.
Right. You know,
men.
It's really been a fabulous discussion. And believe it or not, our half hour is gone. But I really want to thank you.
Our half hour's over already?
Yes, I really
want to thank you. Oh, thank you. I just wanted to give credit to some people who have helped me, such as you, Delia. Thank you for having me. Such as Penelope Duby, LaToya from Uplifting Women of Color, Scaffold for Change, and all the women who are out there not waiting for anyone to do the work, but doing it themselves. If not, who?
So much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Discussions with Delia. Check us out on the web at discussionswithdelia.com and like our Facebook page, Discussions with Delia. Please follow me on Twitter at Discussion Delia. Thank you again for listening. Peace and blessings.